Are you inspired? Ready to go to India? Ready to follow him wherever he leads? Right? Seriously, are you ready? You know, we have to get ready. He's got stuff for us to do. And it's not because we're great. It's because he is. It's not because we're qualified. He is. Are you ready to follow him? You know, Jessica can go to India, this dark place, this place where in some poor, you know, places, it's illegal to be Christian, it's illegal to preach, it's illegal to do worship, it's, you know, all of this, and we can go to India or any other nation in the world, and we can go with confidence because we worship the King of Kings. He reigns. He's all-powerful and sovereign. He's in control. And he's worth it. We willingly give and surrender our life because he's worth it. As the disciples said, where else? Who else has the words of life? Who else can we put our hope in? Who else has the power over sin and death? We can go to these places because he's King of Kings. He rules. This is the reality of who Jesus is from the very beginning. Jesus has always ruled. We see in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. I think we have verses today. Yeah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was a light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus, from the very beginning, reigned. He was King of Kings. He was the creator of all that is. As creator, he's in charge. He's in charge of how it's created, but he's also in charge of the purpose of creation. Jesus reigns. He is Lord of Lords. He is in control of all creation, but he is also the light of the world. Notice the light is always driving out the darkness. Darkness cannot defeat light. Darkness does not overwhelm light. It is always light that drives out darkness. Again, Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He can do whatever he wants to do. His purposes will always come true. They'll always happen just the way that he wants them. Psalm 135, 6. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. Whatever he pleases, he does it. There's no one else in all creation that can say that. It is only Jesus who can say that. And furthermore, Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. He even has, you know, the purpose of our lives in mind. We can have our plans and we can think, okay, we're going to do this or that, but it's him who is in charge. It's him who is in control. It is him who loves us as well. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as the creator of all that is, he created the way he wanted it to be created. And he created out of love. And he created for love. And he created in such a way as to make love the center purpose of all of life, the central focus of all of life. And it was his purpose that love be unconditional, which means that he had to also allow for free will. True love in his understanding and his creative realities that he's given us is got to be chosen. It's got to be received intentionally by my will. And it has to be expressed freely from my will. In God's economy of his creation, he has created this world with love, and with a love that demands free will, and free will that demands a choice. Adam and Eve in the garden had a choice. God didn't just say, hey, I created, and I created out of love and for love, and you have free will to choose whether you're going to love me or not, but then actually give them no choice. That's not the creation that we have. We have the tree of knowledge of good and evil placed in the garden as a way of saying, look, here's your choice. You can continue to worship me, and you continue to receive my love and respond to my love with love, or you can choose to worship yourself. You can choose to reject my love, and you can choose to rebel against me. This is the creation that God made. This is the creation that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords over. And it was in that very beginning of creation that we see the first person exercise their free will to rebel against God. Of course, that first rebellion was Satan's rebellion. He chose to walk away from God. He chose to think that he was worthy of worship and God was not. He chose to worship himself instead of God. He chose to reject God's love and God's creation the way he had set it up, and tried to create his own kingdom. And by extension of being the first to sin, to rebel, he became the king of all those who choose to rebel from the Creator as well. In the triumphal entry, we see this excited reception of the King of the Jews. Jewish people are overwhelmed with excitement, anticipation of their Messiah finally coming and freeing them from the oppressors, establishing once again Jerusalem as the center of the world and the center of God's presence, and allowing the people of God, the Jewish people, to be able to fully follow according to God's law, to live according to God's law. They knew the prophecies about the Messiah. And so when Jesus comes walking into town, they know, they've already have these expectations that he is the Messiah. They've seen what he's done beforehand, the miracles that he'd done, the teachings that he'd given. But now this final act, in a sense, coming into town riding on a donkey. They knew Zechariah 9:9. They knew what it meant. And they're like, yes, he's the one. He's taking the crown. He's taking the label. He had before this, you know, said no, and he kind of pushed people off, but now he's fully embracing them, worshiping him as king. The Jewish people 2,000 years ago, as Jesus enters Jerusalem on that donkey, began to dream about the possibilities, the dream about the reality that in a short period of time, Jesus was going to raise up his army, and he was going to wipe out the Roman Empire, those oppressors over Jerusalem, and that he was going to reestablish his throne in Jerusalem, and the presence of God was once again going to dwell in fullness in the temple. Expectation that then they would be able to fully live out the law of God as given through Moses and worship God and reign with God for all eternity. This was the expectation. But what they didn't understand was that there was another kingdom that Jesus had come to defeat. From the Jewish mindset, the only kingdom to defeat was Rome. They were the ones who were oppressing them. They were the ones that were holding him. And from a Jew's perspective, there was like, yeah, they're forcing this on us. We don't want Rome. We're trying to kick them off, but we can't because they're military power and they're holding us in this place. And so in the Jewish mind, this was something that was being forced upon them, like their Egyptian slavery back in Moses, in the days of Moses. But Jesus recognized that each and every one of them were in a different kingdom, and a different kingdom that was bringing even greater oppression, greater pain and suffering, greater destruction and despair. And it was a kingdom that every one of them had chosen to be a part of, because every one of them had rejected God, rejected his love, rejected his ways, and chosen instead to worship themselves, to worship the law, to worship the temple, instead of worshiping him. In God's economy, Jesus, King of Kings, because in his purposes, he created love at the center, an unconditional love that allows for individuals to freely choose whether they're going to worship him or rebel against him. It created another kingdom, a kingdom of sin and a kingdom of death, a kingdom that was reigned and continues to be reigned by Satan, by Lucifer, the evil one, the betrayer, the liar, the destroyer. But Jesus, because of his great love for us, could not stand to allow the kingdom of Satan to continue to reign, to continue to chain his people to sin and death. And so he came in the form of a man in order to live among us, but more than that, to be a representative of all humanity. As Adam, being the first human, the first image bearer ever created in all of creation, was a representative for all of humanity, so now Jesus, being born of a virgin, came and became the second Adam, the second human representative to face Satan, his enticements, his temptations, his deceptions. But when Jesus faced them, unlike Adam, he stood up against them. He recognized the lies. He called out the deceptions. And he refused to bow his knee to Satan. And continued to bow his knee to God his Father. The reality is Jesus, as we know, spent 33 years on this earth, and in not one moment of those 33 years did he ever sin. Did he ever reject his Father's love? Did he ever worship himself? Did he ever rebel against his Father? And because of that, the deep darkness of sin rose up to seek and destroy. Evil compiled together government forces, religious forces, individual human forces. Imagine for a moment that Friday, Good Friday, some 2,000 years. And it wasn't just Pilate that said, "You are condemned." It wasn't just the Pharisees who called for his crucifixion. It was all of the people, all who had already rejected God as their king, all who were serving Satan, serving sin and death and chained to it, and all of them with their voices called out in unison, "Crucify him." In essence, all the sin and evil in the world all came together to put Jesus on the cross, to take his life, to destroy him, to snuff it out, to end this perspective of perfection that was impossible. And as a result, when Jesus breathed his last, he received the punishment of all that sin could do. In God's economy, a world that's based and created in love, those who love don't deserve punishment. It's those who reject love that receive punishment. And so on the cross, there's something that happened that just wasn't right. It went against the created order of things. Jesus was perfect. A perfect person should never suffer and die. But Jesus willingly allowed sin to do its worst, and he received the punishment for sin that he didn't commit. And because of the economy of God, that selfless act, the act that Jesus even tells us, no greater love has anyone than this, than that he lay down his life for a friend. It was in that act, because he was perfect and because sin poured out its wrath on Jesus on the cross unjustly, that now Jesus has been given the power to call anyone and everyone who calls on him just. The economy of God's creation tells us that the perfect don't suffer and die. But if they willingly choose to suffer and die, then they can pass their righteousness, their perfection, on to someone else who isn't perfect. This is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Because he was perfect and he willingly suffered the punishment for sin, he now has the authority over sin. And so anyone that comes to that point of judgment, that point where punishment is coming to because of their sin, he can speak their name and can declare them in that moment justified and free. And he has promised that everyone that chooses to turn their eyes towards him, to recognize the sacrifice that he's made and bow their knee to him as Lord, he will grant justification. So we see Jesus has defeated sin. Sin no longer has the sole power over every sinner. Satan can't now declare, no, that's mine and mine forever. Jesus says, no, wait a second. If they turn to me, if they bow their knee to me, if they worship me, they're mine. Even greater, Jesus' death. It wasn't just the punishment. It wasn't just our sins being placed on him. It was the actual death. But again, death cannot hold that for which is perfect. Death is the ultimate punishment of sinners. It is the, if you will, the way of life for those who reject God's love. The natural conclusion of a life that's lived for ourselves in worshiping ourselves and in rejection and rebellion to God is death. But Jesus hadn't done that. And so when he dies and faces that ultimate punishment, even death can't hold him because it's not right. He has not sinned. He has no sin. And so death can't hold him. As Acts 2:24 says, this reality that God raised him from the dead because death couldn't hold him. Couldn't hold him in there anymore because he was righteous. He was perfect. And so even death no longer has the ultimate control over the destinies of humanity, Because the one who is resurrected can step in at any moment, declare, this one is justified, and this one is mine, and this one has just crossed from death to life. We have a Lord and Savior who is King of Kings. But it's not just the King of Kings of the things of this physical world that we can see. He is King of Kings over all of creation, over the physical realms around us, over every nation of this world, but also over all of the spiritual dominions that exist as well. He is King of Kings. The only question that we have to ask is, are we in His kingdom? Who reigns in our life? This reality that we all have fallen. We all have fallen short of the glory of God, right? Romans 3:23, this reality that all of us, every one of us, have rejected God. I talked about this last week. Do you recognize your depravity? Do you recognize your sin? Do you recognize that you have rejected God? In essence, Adam's sin injected into our DNA sinful behavior and rebellion against God. And so every one of us, when we're born, we wake up and we scream our first scream, and it is a rebellious scream against God. And we continue to live that for many years, oftentimes in our life, some more than others, before we finally hear about the fact that there's another king. There's someone else who reigns, someone who can save us from our predicament, who can usher us out of this kingdom of death and sin and into a kingdom of life and light and eternity. Which kingdom are you a part of? The great privilege that Jessica has just shared is the fact that we in His kingdom, in the King of Kings' kingdom, we get the opportunity to join Him in helping to bring others from that kingdom of sin and death into His kingdom. And there's no greater excitement, there's no greater adventure, there's no greater experience than to be there when individuals are praying for the first time to accept Jesus as their Lord. To see the chains of sin and death to fall off, to see the joy that comes on their face, the hope that they now have for eternity, but even for today, to know that they have crossed over from death to life and to recognize that all the rest of their days are lived in glory, in love, in joy, in peace, and hope for the future and for now. What kingdom are you a part of? Perhaps there's some in this room right now that have never bowed their knee to Jesus as Lord. Perhaps the rebellious cry of your infancy is continuing even to this day. And if so, then I just want to encourage you. If you're done with that world, if you are in despair, if you are recognizing that this is a dead-end, you know, kingdom that you're in, if you're filled with shame and guilt, if you're tired of the pain and the despair, if you're tired of the anxiety and the stress about tomorrow and what's going to happen, and what if today's my last day? Where am I going to be? If you're tired of all that, there's another kingdom, and you need to know He is Jesus, and He is inviting you in even right now. All you've got to do is turn to Him. Bow your knee to Him, accept what He's done on the cross for you, proclaim your praises and worship of Him, and He will declare you justified. And sin no longer has power over you, and death no longer is your end. But for most of us in this room, we've already made that declaration at some point in our past. Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean that we're living fully in His kingdom. What kingdom are you living in? We see over and over again in the New Testament, Paul was writing to these churches, these Christians, and telling them things like, you got to let go, get put off those sinful things that you used to do. Yeah, you were part of that, but do you realize, like, that was leading to despair and death and destruction? Do you realize, like, put that stuff off and grab on to the new life that you have in Jesus, to walk by the Spirit, to enjoy the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Do you recognize, like, stop living this way and start living the way of the kingdom? And there's maybe many of us in this room today that find themselves still dabbling as if they're citizens of that old kingdom still. Still grabbing on to those sinful behaviors. Now, we can praise the Lord that, you know, it's not our perfection that God recognizes. It's Jesus's perfection. And he is a gracious king who forgives us of all of our sin. But there is a level of sin that when he begins to convict us of, that we've got to deal with it. Just because we're saved by grace doesn't mean that we still don't have some repentance to do. And as God is calling us to join him in building and strengthening his kingdom in whole new ways, what I am seeing in the conversations that I've had in this church, he is purifying his church. He is revealing sin that's in our heart that we need to deal with. He is revealing the areas of our life that haven't been fully surrendered to him, but that we continue to go back to. He is saying to us, you know, your relationships need to be purified. Your hearts need to be purified. And again, this is not a salvation thing. For those who have already bowed their knee to Jesus, Lord, your eternity is sure. However, we need to learn how to walk in the freedom that he has for us. And we need to recognize that the sin that we continue to dabble in, continue to make excuses for, continue to just kind of allow to exist in our life is actually preventing us from enjoying the fullness of the kingdom of God right now and right here. We have come to a point in our minds about seeing the kingdom that says that, you know, the kingdom of God is someday in the future. And at that day, all my sin will be dealt with. At that day, all the evil will be dealt with. And that day, all the things will be exactly the way I want them to be. I get to experience all his love and all his joy and all his peace. No, it is not just then, it's now. We've got to give up the hope for just the future and recognize the hope of today. Jesus offers love, freedom, joy, peace, right now, hope, right now. Because we put off the kingdom to some future existence, we allow sin to just, well, you know what? Still in my sinful body, there's nothing I can do about it. No. Church, listen to me. No, I've said it myself. No. We do not have to put up with sin in our life anymore. We do not have to allow the guilt that comes from that, the shame that comes from that, to rule our life. We are children of the King of Kings. Next week, we're going to talk about our authority. Easter morning, yes, that we reign with him. But this week, we need to allow him to purify us. What kingdom are you living in? We have a God who loves us deeply. And by his amazing grace, he accepts us just as we are. But because of his deep love for us, he wants more for us. He wants to root out the sin that continues to entangle us and prevent us from following Jesus to the fullness that he has designed for us. When Jesus convicts of sin, when he exposes sin, when he reveals its presence in our life or in our relationships, he always does so because he has a dream of so much better for us. Jesus never convicts of sin in order to condemn us of it. He never expresses, you know, it says, hey, here's this sin you need to deal with because, man, you're really ugly right now and I just don't like you. No, he always exposes and reveals our sin to say, look, I've got so much more. You're missing out. Would you let go of this? Would you give this over to me? Would you not just continue to allow it to exist in your life? There is freedom from that. You are in a new kingdom, and I am King of Kings, and I can free you from it. Will you come to me? Will you seek me? Will you ask me? Will you follow me? Will you love me? What kingdom are you living in? All right, worship team, why don't you come forward? We have a little bit extended time of worship and response this morning. And I think it's good and it's fitting for where we're at this morning. Because I want us to you know, really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. I would expect, not because of me, but because of Jesus and who he is, I would expect that there's some in this room that are feeling his conviction right now. And so I just want to call us to respond, to react to whatever he's calling us to. And maybe that means we need to get on our knees and just repent. Maybe that means we need to go across the room and confess and apologize to somebody that we've hurt. Maybe it means we need to just cry out to Jesus to help us, because this is a sin we've been wrestling with for years. Maybe we just need to recommit and say, you know what, Jesus, I've been kind of just being apathetic about this, but no more. I want more. I want the more that you want for me. And so I just want to, I think, use this time of music and worship and responding in music to be also a time for us to respond to what he's saying in our hearts. And I'm going to be up front here. Maybe we can get a couple others to be available to pray with you. If you want to come forward, then that would be great. We would love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never bowed your knee to Jesus as Lord, and he's like speaking to you right now, I want to encourage you, especially, come forward. We would love to help you to figure out how to turn your eyes towards Jesus today and to enter his kingdom. But I also want to say this in response to, like, we spend a lot of time in our minds. And that can be an okay thing. We have a lot of thoughts, a lot of things we think about, a lot of ideas that maybe come and go, and we never do anything about them. And we need to start there. Right? Our minds need to be active. We praise the Lord if we have them. But I just want to encourage you, like, if the Lord is convicting you today of something, that understand that you just speaking that in your mind and praying those prayers in your mind may not, like, you may need to speak it out, like, with your mouth. That there's something about that, like, that sometimes, you know, especially with, if God is calling us into something, to actually, you know, speak it out. Like the first time, you know, Jessica said, I think God's calling me to India. Like, just even speaking that out, all of a sudden, it changes it. To speak out, I think God's calling me to repent of this sin. And speak out that sin. I think God is calling me to recommit my life and to follow him more fully. Speak it out with our mouth. Bring it out into reality, not just in our minds, but actually in the spirit world and in the physical world, so that everyone knows it. Well, not everyone, you don't have to shout it from the room, but at least somebody else knows it. This is part, you know, this is why we do altar calls in part. Like, for people to make that physical reaction in the physical realm of what's going on internally in their heart. And so I just encourage you, like, if God is speaking to you, then speak that out. Like, to somebody in the room, come forward if you want. We'll listen to it. I'll take it. I'll receive that. Bless you and encourage you in that. I'll pray for you in that. But maybe it's with a spouse you need to share it. Maybe it's a close friend. Ultimately, I want you to follow what he's calling you to. If it's to come forward, come forward. If it's to get on your knees, get on your knees. If it's to stand and wave your hands and proclaim his praises, stand and wave your hands, proclaim his praises. Whatever it is he's calling you to do, just follow him in it. Trust him. It's going to be amazing. He'll never disappoint you because he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his will always be done. And his will is always love. All right. Listen. Hallelujah. The Lord, oh God, Almighty reigns. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being King of Kings, not just of the physical realms and the worlds around us, but of all the realms. And Lord, thank you for creating out of such a deep love. And Lord, when we screwed that up, thank you that you still pursued us. But Lord, you even stepped in and defeated sin and death so that we could have the choice to be a part of your kingdom. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in our church. Thank you for what you're doing around the world. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my own heart. Keep working, Lord. Keep exposing those areas that are not surrendered to you. Lord, keep speaking my identity over me. Keep calling me to join you. Keep allowing me to help you build and strengthen your kingdom. Lord, help us as a church to join you in that. Thank you. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the empowerment. Thank you that you get the glory. And thank you that we get the blessing. Revelation 5, 11 to 14. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church, for being here. Thank you for opening up your lives and your hearts for the Spirit to come in and speak. We're going to continue to keep this space available for people to react and respond to whatever the Spirit's doing, another song or two to sing, and so continue to be in here if you want to worship. Continue to remain up front if you'd like prayer for anything that's going on in your life right now. We'd love to pray for you. If you're ready to just head out and fellowship with others, and we encourage you to do that, and as you do that, be aware of what the Spirit is speaking to you and the words that you need to speak over others in those conversations. Make those conversations beautiful and powerful, encouraging and good. All right, church. Thank you. We'll see you this week. God bless.